faithful and exclusive. Now, both of those are very powerful commitments, which, if honored, give rise to a great and profound relationship between a husband and wife. But if dishonored...
I used to say I knew exactly what I wanted. I used to say that I had everything figured out. But then you came and turned my world upside down. Now I don't know what to say.
If you get divorced, usually the men feel that they get the bad end of the deal. But I think underneath, even though marriage is just looks like a formal thing that they make a vow and they promise to each other, it seems to be a change from living together when people make that commitment.
I used to know all of the plans I had perfected. I used to know the way my life was supposed to be. But don't you know that I had to reconsider when you came along the way?
What greater gift could you be given than a person giving them the gift of themselves to you for life? Perhaps it raises the whole thing of people preparing for marriage to really understand, to make sure that when they have the wedding ceremony, if they understand the significance of the words, wow, isn't that worth celebrating?
Games up, it all went out the window, baby, what can I say? I wouldn't want it any other way. Live and learn and a level lost. Whatever I do is 100 times better with you.
And you're very welcome along to episode 3 of our 4-part series called Marriage in Ireland Today. More challenging or more exciting? This programme is a special presentation of family.ie. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ronan Johnston, here to tell us what we'll be covering today, Stephen Carty.
Thanks, Ronan. As we've discussed in our previous episodes, marriage in Ireland is reflecting the new landscape. In a very short space of time, we've become a more liberal, diverse, and multicultural society. Last time, we heard from a number of individuals who have first-hand experience with marriages who have crossed the cultural divide. Let's hear a few highlights.
Cross-cultural marriage, it's certainly a new thing for Ireland. It can be difficult to get to know the family, and we would encourage that.
I suppose from my own point of view that my culture has put upon me certain ideas as the way things should be done. I suppose to understand not just the other person, but to understand the culture from where they're coming, simply because that'll give you a better idea of the expectations of that other person.
And I would say that that's definitely something that would have benefited us to do a full pre-marriage course and, I suppose, discuss all of the potential issues that can come up. So I would recommend that for everybody getting married. It should be mandatory.
Get to know this person's mum and dad, if they're still alive, brothers and sisters, aunts, because you're marrying into a family, a different culture. And that can be difficult if somebody's living in Africa. How are you going to meet their relatives and everything?
Yes, and I met him as well through a friend. So we just got talking. And
when I saw, I said, "Ha!" Saying to my friend, "Who is that chick?"
And the rest is history.
I think it's a healthy thing. I think it's a growing thing. And I think it's going to continue to happen.
Today, we're going to analyse the latest social research, cultural views, and the perceptions of the permanence, in inverted commas, of commitment in modern society. In just a few moments, professional counsellor Linda Wagner will examine the recent trends, the rise in cohabitation, and the impact that it's having on the future of marriage. First, though, let's hear what a random sample of the public had to say. We asked, do you think it's okay for couples to live together before marriage? Why? Or why not?
I think that's pretty good, because I think marriage is kind of an old thing. It was earlier just to have one partner the whole life, but I think it's all right to live together and be happy.
No, I don't. When couples live together outside of marriage, it's very kind of casual, I believe. If things start going a bit pear-shaped, they find it very easy to opt out. But when there's a marriage there, it shows that the couple are very committed to each other.
I sincerely do. If they eventually become married, I think they have a better chance of staying married.
No. I believe God's best for us is he wants us to be in relationships where we have that security and that safety of knowing that someone is committed to our well-being.
Well, I used to think it was okay when I was younger, but now it's far too easy for people to live together and just drop each other at the first sign of trouble. Whereas marriage will keep people together through the tough times.
Yeah, they should live together first and then get married.
I don't, biblically it's not the thing to do. God has ordained marriage between two people who make a commitment, who love each other and want to be together all the time.
Personally, I don't believe that couples should live together before marriage. I believe couples will experience a blessing that they severely miss out on should they live together and sleep together before getting married.
Yeah, because you have to get to know them sometimes, you know, to build up a relationship.
No, two people should live together before marriage, because that is not God's way at all.
Is marriage necessary to have a healthy, happy family?
Marriage is not necessary.
I do think it's necessary. It brings a wonderful sense of security to children to see that unit and that closeness and that sense of commitment that the parents have to each other, being married, being husband and wife.
It's nice to have a bond, a strong bond with family, yeah, it helps big time.
Not for today's society, in my view. It's not fully necessary, like it. It is nice to look back on it, all right, look back and say, you know, these people look after me or whatever.
I used to think it wasn't, but now I do think it's important because it ensures a commitment to the children and to each other. Yes, it helps to make a family healthy.
No, I don't think so. Every people can live together if they want and it's not necessary.
Marriage is definitely the ideal for a family to be as healthy as possible, but there are many other families out there who work perfectly well.
Not necessary. If both partners are separated or, you know, if they're not living together or whatever, once they have the child's best interests in heart, genuinely, it works just as well.
Definitely, I think marriage is important because if the commitment is made between the husband and wife, then there'll be a commitment to the children.
This is family.ie and episode 3 of our series called Marriage in Ireland Today. More challenging or more exciting? We need to take a quick break now. When we continue, we'll think more about the recent perceptions, attitudes and trends in regards to cohabitation and marriage. So don't go away, and keep in mind that if you'd like to weigh in on the discussion at some point, our text comment line is 086-251-6886, or feel free to email us anytime, radio@family.ie. Again, by text, that's 086-251-6886 or radio@family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie. If you just tuned in, we're in the midst of episode 3 of our 4-part series of programs called Marriage in Ireland Today. More challenging or more exciting? You can find more information and many other resources to help your family thrive on our website, family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Now, before the break, we began by talking about the rise of cohabitation in Ireland. We heard some opinions on that from a few members of the public, so now let's analyse some of the latest research. Stephen Cardy welcomes professional counsellor Linda Wagner.
Linda, can you tell us a little bit about social research that speaks about the levels of marriage and cohabitation in Ireland? What's that telling us?
One from the ESRI, UCD did research, and University of Limerick, and they said by 2006, twice as many 25-year-olds were cohabiting as were married, and a lot of them are cohabiting before marriage as a prelude to marriage, but some are not going on to marriage from then. But there's been a rise in marriage in those that are in their 30s, but in their 20s that's lowered, so they're more cohabiting then.
People are cohabiting in their 20s and getting married in their 30s. That's obviously a big change in the social norms then from what has been before. Is that change in those social norms, is that having any impact on when they then go on to marry or not, or the relationships that they develop between the couples when they get married afterwards?
It seems that it does. Some people say it's for financial reasons, that it can help them as far as if there's benefits they're getting, perhaps they'll lose them if they get married, different things. Some people say weddings are so expensive. It's a lot of money spent on a wedding. We're happy the way we are. We're doing well the way we are. We don't see a need to get married. Some say in the negative sense is divorce is expensive. And if you get divorced, usually the men feel that they get the bad end of the deal. But I think underneath some of those things is there's some difference in, even though marriage is just looks like a formal thing that they make a vow and they promise to each other, it seems to be a change from living together when people make that commitment. I know of people who they didn't think it would make any difference, But as soon as I got married, something was different. And I think there's something mystical in it that happens, that all of a sudden there's now, even though there's a lot of divorce, there is a knowing that this person is committing themselves to stay. And until that time comes, everyone has an out. Before marriage, you don't know if they're staying. Everyone has the option to leave. And I think there's something about that commitment that changes things some.
That presumably has a benefit in terms of the quality of the relationship mm-hmm. and the sense of security that people feel in the relationship.
Yeah. I think some of the problems in marriage are because this person is so important to me. They mean so much in my life that I don't want to do things in a way to risk it. And so I limit what I say sometimes, adapt to things, and I put up with things so that I don't disrupt our relationship more because I'm afraid of losing it. And so when there's not that commitment, there's less of assurance that they'll stay than if there was marriage. And to be able to get to a deeper relationship and a more intimate relationship with each other, there needs to be that commitment that they're going to stay, even if we have rows and we have arguments and fights, we're going to try and see this through. And being married doesn't mean definitely they'll do that, but it seems to give more of a chance or assurance of it.
I mean, obviously, cohabiting couples have their rise as well, because the rate of relationship breakdown amongst cohabiting couples is much higher than it is amongst the married community.
And what I'm finding out with counseling with couples who have even getting married, but later on, they keep independent. Each one keeps their own bank account, and each one keeps their own life, their career, and they're almost roommates with a sexual relationship in ways. And I think sometimes they don't know how to let go of that independence and to be interdependent rather than independent. It's almost like there's a shell around the person, and they're keeping that shell there so that they keep themselves protected from each other, even though they really want to be super close. And so I think marriage is that place, and sometimes they don't do the connection until they have children, and then they learn to sacrifice, and then they learn to give for somebody else. But up until then, sometimes they don't do that.
In the wedding ceremony, in most settings where wedding ceremonies take place, which predominantly would be in a church setting, we talk of this idea of the two becoming one. And that doesn't happen if you keep yourself separate.
Yeah, I think that's where people are missing out on what is that two becoming one. Really, finances, you can do finances all different ways. That's not a problem. But it's why people are doing the finances the way they are. And if it's out of fear and distrust, and if it's out of wanting to hold on to control, then those are not good reasons for it. They keep us separate again. But there's such a fear of us. We have such a fear inside of us. And when I marry you or I commit myself to you, you really can hurt me more than anyone in the world can hurt me. And so there's that fear, even though you make me feel better than anyone in the world makes me feel too.
And yes, I suppose it's difficult to fully embrace someone else if we keep our arms folded. You're listening to family.ie. We need to take a quick break right now, but just a reminder that you'll find loads more information online at family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Coming up next, we'll look at the nature of wedding vows and how they've changed in recent years. Does our choice of words and phrases really make any difference? So stay tuned for more as we further explore 21st century marriage. Here on today's edition of Marriage in Ireland Today, more challenging or more exciting on family.ie. This is family.ie and episode 3 of Marriage in Ireland Today, more challenging or more exciting? So far, we've discussed the rise of cohabitation in Ireland. Many couples are choosing to live together. Some do so instead of marriage. Others do so as a prelude to marriage. Either way, research shows there tend to be consequences both for the individuals involved and on society at large. But what happens when people do choose to get married? Does the exchange of vows really make any difference? Stephen Carty welcomes once again Peter and Fiona Perham of the Nazareth Family Institute.
Getting married is a legal engagement and it's a contract, isn't it?
It is a contract. It's also a covenant, but on the contract side, yes, because the state recognises that even if people get married in a church environment, whatever denomination, they recognise that as a valid marriage in the eyes of the state, that and therefore it would have the same standing as a civil marriage in the eyes of the state in that sense.
Yeah, and the state vows, which are expressions of their commitment one to another.
That's amazing. Right. It's called a covenant commitment in a Christian. And all that means mm-hmm. is that it's described as a sacred promise. I mean, back in the days of the Old Testament and things, when you made a covenant with somebody, you were bound to them with this sacred bond, the way that God bound himself to the people of Israel through a covenant. So it reflects that. Christian marriage reflects that covenant relationship. So the vows are legal. So in a sense, the marriage really happens through the free exchange of mutual consent. And the key words that express that, which I think are still there more or less, that I give myself to you as your husband and your wife, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and health.
For better, for worse.
All the days.
For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, all the days of our life.
But the important thing was that you said, I do. So in a sense, it amounted to the same thing. You were consenting to this lifelong commitment to be faithful and exclusive and all of that. So the core of that hasn't changed really. And while now couples...
Just let me pause for a second there. You mentioned faithful and exclusive. Now, both of those are very powerful commitments, which, if honoured, give rise to a great and profound relationship between a husband and wife. But if dishonored, give rise to terrible acrimony and distrust and pain and distress and so on. So those words, Peter, are there not just because we're Victorian. They're there because they express the intention of the parties entering into the marriage to honor and be faithful to one another.
It is amazing power in those words.
And it's calling you to unconditional love, really. It's calling you to unconditional love, to love the other person.
And, perhaps people don't reflect sufficiently that what greater gift could you be given than a person giving them the gift of themselves to you for life? Think about those, and perhaps it raises the whole thing of people preparing for marriage to really understand, to make sure that when they have the wedding ceremony, if they understand the significance of those words, wow, isn't that worth celebrating? You know?
Yes.
And of course, that's the rock that their marriage stands on, that mutual exchange of mutual consent that creates this bond. Mm. And of course, for the Christian, that's, God would say that's sealed, if you like, by God. Mm. That's why the minister there to represent the church or represent God. It's sealed. So it's a divine, in the Catholic environment, it's called a sacrament. But all that means, which, and it's still relevant for people who have very little faith, is that it's a sign of something. Yeah. And it's, what is it a sign of? Well, it's a sign, and it's there for thousands of years. God has always used marriage language, nuptial language, to describe his love for his people. So we can have a powerful effect on the world around us as well. It's not just for ourselves, but we can actually make God believable and present through the way we love each other.
We have a duty to go out and show our marriage, you know, and it's because it isn't, we don't have to close our doors and keep it hidden behind the doors and things. We have a duty for others to show, because this is, somebody said, this is the best way God has of explaining himself, a married couple. We have a stake in each other's lives.
Yeah.
We do. And, you know, we affect each other.
I think it's relatively self-evident to people that children blossom when a father and mother love each other, because they have no doubts about their identity. You know, I'm a product of love. So we're fulfilling the vocation to love. It's very interesting, though, that, you know, if for people who are Christian or interested in the gospel, you know, that core commandment was love one another. And it's very interesting that it was a commandment, because you can't be commanded to feel loving. You know, our feelings come and go, and, you
yes,
know,
that's true.
But love lies in the will. You actually have some control. You can decide to love somebody. Yes. And that's what the marriage vows express. It's a decision to commit your life to somebody. But then that's the, as I said, that's the rock you stand on. That gives you the security to work through that. And even if you hit a bad patch or a rocky patch, you have that to fall back on. You say, no, look, let's work this through. We often would say to each other, hang on a minute, this is not what we promised each other. And that was a great motivation to forgive each other. And of course, the great paradox about that is that when you forgive each other, your love grows stronger.
Yes.
That's
when you go, when you look back on the hassle you went through and things, thinking, you know, since we cleared that up and things, you know, we're stronger together. We've, you know, and every time you have one of these, then, but you know, your arguments go on and you sort of say, and you said this and I said that and you said the other, and why did you do that last Tuesday? And, you know, all that stuff that goes on between you, and it builds up into a big crescendo of nothing.
The vows are not necessarily just a once-off thing. You could say that every time a couple make love to each other as a married couple, they're renewing their vows because they're giving this gift of each other to themselves without coercion, freely, faithful, hopefully exclusive. So they're renewing their marriage vows every time they make love.
Yeah. You say to couples, you don't need to go out and have a big slap-up celebration for a wedding anniversary, just go to bed together and celebrate.
And the other interesting thing is that, you know, we would always think that that if we think of Jesus, that he expressed his love at the deepest level on the cross and forgiving the people, you know, forgiving everyone. Yeah. Because when I decide to you make the decision to forgive somebody, even though they may have hurt you badly, you are saying to that person, well, I care about you, I care about our marriage, I want us to be united, therefore I'm choosing to forgive you, not in a condescending way, but because this expresses what you mean to me, and I want us to be together. So
the two questions you have to say if you're really serious about your marriage: do I care about you enough to forgive you? Or do I care enough about you as a person? And am I willing to change so that we can grow?
I think they're the two key questions for anybody who's married.
Yeah.
In more recent years, we've seen the level of commitment that we've just talked about depleting. Life is much more about selfish pursuits and what I can get out of this rather than what I can give, what I can bring and what I can contribute to this. Realistically, the married life is the most rewarding possible relationship you could have, but it will require your full commitment.
That's the mystery of love. Absolutely. And it's the paradox of love, in the sense that you only really discover what love is when you make the full commitment.
Yes.
And that if you sort of hang back and just say, well, I'll see, you know, how this goes, or while I get out of this, in the sense, you'll never really be happy, because nobody is going to be able to live up to all your expectations. You'll always be disappointed.
But the attitude can often be, I love you as long as you're loving me.
Yes.
You know, if you start sort of, you know, getting annoying me and things, you know, how could I possibly love you then? That's far too much to ask of me. You know, because we are very into me, you know, and what I need and what I want. And, you know, as we say to the couple, you go to the altar and you're standing in the eyes of God and you're making this commitment as a single person at that point to this other person in the eyes of God, saying, I'm committing my life to you, I give myself as a gift to you for your life. And then if the other person decides to sit in the couch and smoke a pipe, you still have made that commitment in the eyes of God as a single person to this person who we are now married to. Mm. So you still have to live that commitment. And we'll say, you know, it isn't 50-50, because it's 50-50 and you're both having a bad day, you won't even connect with each other.
Yes.
So, and well, some people say 60-40, you give 60 and you get 40. Mm. But mostly it has to be 100-100, because you overlap so much that you're always in touch with each other. It's all about giving, really.
I think that it isn't so much the vows, the words of the vows have changed, but maybe people's understanding of what marriage is.
Now that's an interesting point, isn't it? Maybe it isn't the words of the vows have changed as much as people's understanding of what marriage is. You've been listening to Family.ie, and that was Programme 3 in our four-part series. We invite you to check out Family.ie and find out more about marriage in Ireland today. More challenging or more exciting? In addition to many of the free articles and links you can find at our website, we also have an online store. And of course, if you purchase any materials from us at Family.ie, you're helping to support our ongoing work around the country. We are a registered charity, and we really do need and appreciate your support. And while you're online, you can download free audio copies of this and many of our other radio programmes. You can also follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, find out more at family.ie. Tune in next time as we hear from a variety of couples, along with a representative of Relationship Central Ireland. Together, they'll share their opinions of the modern views of marriage. We'll talk with some couples who are preparing for marriage, along with others who share some of their challenges as blended families. We'll also consider what is perhaps the most solemn part of the wedding vows, till death do us part. I'm Ronan Johnston, and with thanks once again to our contributors today, and on behalf of Stephen Cardy, we thank you for listening and invite you back next time for more. Until then, slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to Family.ie, helping families thrive. Family.